The Song of the Rice Barge Coulee, Part 2. Jenny's eyes were glued shut with a mucilage of sleep. She rubbed them at their corners to loosen the bond. Ouch, too much light. Her eyelids slammed shut. Slowly, Jenny Levitan, nay Boojack, eased them open, squinting at a hazy morning through a paling of lashes. She tried to remember her father. They had splashed through the puddles together, puddles with their upside-down skies.
Well, honey, that'll bring in Chicago.
Jenny's dad had erected a TV mast when she was 6 years old. Her favorites were Buffalo Bob and his sidekick Howdy Doody, the freckle-faced puppet with, she supposed, red hair. Color TV had yet to reach Racine, Wisconsin. Dad had bought her a metal lunch pail with a color lithograph of Howdy with red hair, so it must be so. She tried to remember her imaginary playmate. How's your little playmate today, Jenny? Dad thought the Flim Flam Man was an elf. Dad had named the Flim Flam Man. Careful, baby! The Flim Flam Man gonna get you! There'd be giggles and a laugh as he swung her high into the fluffy, friendly clouds. Dad believed in the Flim Flam Man, too. She flashed her tits at Jim, Dad, the real estate vampire. Oh, I wish you were here. I wish the Flim Flam Man was here. Dad gave no response. Dad was dead. Her father's face faded. Shifting her breasts to each side, Jenny balanced over the side of the bed and allowed her head to dangle to the floor. The world was refreshingly different upside down, like the sky in a rain puddle, blue with high summer cumulus clouds that she once obliterated with her little girl yellow galoshes.
Carry your lunch pail today?
The Flim Flam Man had red hair, just like Howdy Doody, but he was more, well, masculine. Jenny Boojack, for that was her name then, liked his tight curly hair, the corded musculature of his shoulders and forearms. He was a comfort when the other kids picked on her. That was in Racine, Wisconsin, 50 years ago. I splashed the sky away, said Jenny. A line of ants, single file, marched across the pine flooring beside her nose. Hello, ants, said Jenny. A lone ant appeared from under the baseboard. He was carrying a grain of rice and headed against the flow of traffic back down the line of marchers.
Hello, little Jenny, said the Flim Flam Man.
You are a figment.
Really? Said the Flim Flam Man.
Of course. I'm nuts. You were all well and good when I was 6 years old, but...
Jenny, we splashed the puddles and made the sky go upside down, didn't we?
Well...
Together?
Always together.
You've got ants, little Jenny. Better call the exterminator.
Dad?
The Flim Flam Man smiled, a hearty, manly smile. They could mean big trouble down the line, carpenter ants, said the Flim Flam Man. Gotta get 'em early.
Jenny decided to kill the ants herself. Jenny found out that she was a loser at the game of life by accident. It was the running shoes. She noticed them in her husband's gym bag and recalled the pair of shoes in Babs Kazmierczak's bag. Jim had been working out 3-4 nights a week at the Bangor YMCA, a good hour-plus drive away. He had said, I'm closing in on 58, and I want to slow the process. Reasonable enough. Dinner was on the table. A bouquet of purple periwinkles in a jelly glass vase sat between them. Macaroni and cheese. Again? The implication was that Jenny was trying to fatten him up against all the good work he was doing at the gym. Jenny noticed that Jim was putting on a spare tire despite all his workouts. Help yourself. Enjoy, said Jenny. Jim tucked right in. 2 nights later, and Jim was a no-show. Jenny called the Bangor YMCA. A valley girl voice, sounding knowledgeable, all chirpy and preppy, assured her that they were indeed open till 9 p.m.
Levitan? Jim Levitan? I'll call down and have one of the trainers check the sign-in sheet.
Jenny was on hold. After 5+ minutes, the chirpy girl returned.
No, he's not signed in, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just suggested, not required. In case of an emergency, do you want him paged?
No, Jenny did definitely not want him paged.
Thank you for taking the trouble.
No problem.
Say, why don't you sign up? Our senior special.
Jenny hung up on her. Later, tenish, Jim arrived, hair slicked back and still wet from the shower.
Good workout?
Terrific.
You know, I was thinking of maybe joining myself.
Jim started to talk, then hesitated. It's a long drive.
Just over an hour.
Long enough to get your hair dry if that's where you were.
You do it. We could get the family rate, or I could sign up on the senior special.
You're not that out of shape.
Thanks for noticing.
She pulled one shoe from her husband's gym bag. The tissue paper from the factory was still wadded into the toe. He'd never laced them up.
Nice shoes.
If I didn't know better, I'd guess you were having an affair with Babs. Jim flushed, turning the color of a boiled lobster from his neck to the part in his hair.
What?
He shuffled his feet and looked away. Jenny slept in the guest bedroom from then on.
Sister!
Sister!
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. The voice, which Jenny feared only she could hear, and at that only in her mind, quavered with the peculiar quality of an overseas radio transmission. The heterodyning phase shift she had heard from her father's shortwave radio.
Shh, pumpkin.
That's London calling. The BBC World Service. Or Moscow. Or Mozambique.
Sister. Sister. Soon it will only be you and I.
Jenny Levitan struggled to be awake, rubbing muzzy cobwebs from the edges of her consciousness.
Who are you?
She could not locate the source of the voice.
I'm the Lady Mother. Except for myself, of course. I did not know my mother, but I must assume that there was one. My fecunditor, the father of us all, died at the moment of consummation.
My father died 20 years ago.
Sister. So did the father of us all.
Where are you?
Where I have always been. I am singing.
That's nice.
No, it is not nice, as you say, but it is necessary.
If you're not just some imbalance with my endocrine system, where are you?
Sister, sister. I might ask you the same question if I knew what it was. I cry alone, always alone, into the emptiness, the great darkness outside the galleries, beyond the sand. I reached out in my despair, and you have answered.
Where have you been? Racine, Wisconsin, then Chicago mostly. Jim organized seminars for the university, then here, to Maine. We retired early.
I do not know of these things. Where is early?
Jenny rummaged in the drawer of her bedside table for the card of that therapist Jim had recommended. She deliberately tore the card apart.
There. He says I'm nuts.
What does that make you? The shredded bits fell to the bedroom carpet like confetti behind a parade.
What I've always been, the Lady Mother of the Long Walkers. Sister, I need your help,
the voice sang. Jenny stirred the fallen confetti with a toe.
About now, I'm the one who needs professional help. Just what did you have in mind?
A wordless singing went on for several minutes. With a burst of premenstrual energy, Jenny was beating the blues by cleaning out the attic. When she discovered the ancient can, tucked away where the roof timbers met at the eaves, rodenticide kills ants and other household pests, she read. Arsenic trioxide. The label was printed on parchment-colored paper in red ink. There was a picture of a rat
looking feral and healthy, a skull and crossbones adorned one corner. She carried the can to the kitchen, where she spread some newspapers and prized off the lid. The can was full of a dense white powder. And the phone was ringing.
Yeah?
Jenny was trying to read the label on the can of ant poison. She balanced the phone against her ear while she rummaged in a drawer for her spare glasses.
Shit,
said Jenny.
What?
I just spilled my poison. Who is this? Jenny decided there was not enough poison spilled to do any real damage, and squeegeed up loose powder with a wet paper towel.
Spilled your what?
Forget it.
Jenny?
Yes?
Jenny, it's Linda.
Linda? Who the hell was Linda?
Linda Throckmorton. I haven't seen you since high school.
Oh, God. Linda.
I wanted to call and tell you how sorry I am about your father. His death?
Linda, that was 20 years ago. Have you just heard?
I didn't know what to say at the time. I couldn't call. And now...
Better late than never. A pause. Linda, is that why you haven't talked to me for 20 years? Because you didn't call when my dad died?
Yes.
Linda, where are you?
California. Bob teaches at San Jose State.
Jesus Christ, Linda, we were friends.
Jenny, I'm so miserable. I am in counseling. AA. My marriage is a mess. I've been going to Weight Watchers. Jenny Craig.
Let's see. We're doing a list here. You're fat, you're seeing a shrink, you're drying out, and Bob is fucking the cheerleaders, and you're sorry my dad is dead. Is that about right so far?
Oh!
The sobbing re-erupted. Jenny watched a line of ants struggle with the task of transporting rice from a bag of basmati down the kitchen counter back to their nest. Her rice from her cabinet. She reached for the can of arsenic trioxide and slammed it down on the counter, hard. The lid popped loose, sending a cloud of gray-white dust into the air. Jenny dived for the paper towels, and moistening one, placed it against her nose. She juggled the telephone. She had twisted the cord into an electrical macrame. Get a grip on yourself, Linda. We're 56 years old, for Christ's sakes. Terminal ennui, the death of marriage, blah, blah, blah. And forget passion. I started high-impact aerobics to tighten up my ass. Now Jim is fucking Babs Kazmierczak.
Babs? What, Zach?
Kazmierczak, the real estate vampire. She's the agent who sold us our dream house. Jim is fucking her, and I'm suing to get some equity back.
And you're suing for divorce?
Something. Anything. Or I will be. There was a snuffle at Linda's end of the conversation.
Jenny, this took a lot of courage for me.
Pick up the phone, Linda, just once in 20 years. It's not heavy. A little penitence goes a long way. Fuck you. I'm one royally pissed off screaming termagant.
I've called you every day in my mind. I've been in therapy. I was there for you, Jenny.
A reedy skirling of tiny bagpipes. Sister, sister, help me. The bagpipers ceased, but the song continued. A song with no content. Trailing the telephone cord behind her, Jenny went to the refrigerator and pulled out a container of yogurt, full of fat and with sugary fruit syrup on the bottom. Linda said something, stopped, waited for a reply. Jenny hummed tunelessly.
What's that?
Linda was still on the line. Oh, you're still there. I thought I heard someone breathing. That's the song of the rice barge coolie, Bertolt Brecht. The measure's taken. I learned it in college. A theater course. I was watching ants walk across the kitchen counter just now.
We did Showboat in high school, remember?
Jenny peeled the seal from the yogurt container. Elbows on the kitchen counter, her fingers traced idle swirls and leftover poison dust. The ants are emptying a 5-pound bag of rice, grain by grain. I thought the ants' achievement deserved some recognition. Linda sang.
It's just my bill, an ordinary guy.
They work all day for a chance to work the following day, the coolies. They get to eat whatever spills. They sleep under a bridge if they're lucky. Then they die.
Like old man River in Showboat.
Linda's small, snot-filled voice rose and fell in the earpiece.
He just keeps rolling along.
Not really. The coolies will never get there. They'll all die. Their children will finish the trip. Then their children will die. Jenny's hands played with the old poison can, prizing off the lid, squeezing it shut. The lid became jammed. A large ring of keys, Jim's keys, with Babb's Century 21 advertising bauble lay on the table. Jenny bent a key, getting the lid off. Ouch! A bright spot of blood shimmered on the white powder. Her blood. Jenny cursed Linda Throckmorton. In far California, Linda took a snot-filled gulp, a warning that she was taking on air for an extended conversation. Jenny hung up the phone. That song again. The Armenian music from a distant radio.
Hello? Are you there?
Said Jenny.
I cry alone, always alone, said the lady mother of the long walkers. I remember the sun, the singer trilled, the great light and the blessed wind with white blossoms falling upward. They promised much. But I was betrayed. That's true love for you, once in a lifetime. Jim is fucking the real estate vampire.
The lady mother did not ask the meaning of vampire, or even fucking a vampire. Jenny figured the concepts were a given, after all. The voice was her hallucination.
Kill your husband, sister, as I killed mine. He has betrayed you, after all.
The lady mother became hushed and insinuating.
Sister, she said, I ripped out his organs of generation. He was so beautiful.
Her song rose and fell.
The eggs, my larvae, my pupae, the hatchlings, are dying. My sister queens are dead and lying in a row.
I have my own problems, said Jenny. Pictures of tunnels, shafts and galleries, brood chambers, and a purposeful thronging skittered across Jenny's mind. Large, white bodies lay dead.
Jesus Christ! You're an aunt! If you say it, sister, then it is so.
The lady mother of the long walkers was sure and composed. Jenny felt an early tingle of migraine, a hometown nova about to bloom in her head. Where was the Dilantin? The first time this music played, she'd had a seizure. She could kill the ants and stop the singing in her head. And so it followed with ineluctable logic. Why not Jim, too? The idea was not unpleasing. Virginia Levitan, née Bujak, was not sure that her husband deserved killing just for having an affair, or really bad taste in women, meaning Babs.
He'd said she was fat.
Fat and fits. He'd criticized her right in front of the real estate vampire. Death happens for reasons. She trusted that the ants would appreciate this.
I had seizures. Prozac wasn't invented yet. I got Dilantin. I got the anticonvulsants. Try Dilantin for 20 years. I've hair on my tits. I hear voices. I'm dizzy. I foam at the mouth and fall down. Boom. Like that. Right on my hairy tits. Sister?
Yes?
There's one I can trust, a messenger. You will help him.
Jenny Levitan, cuckolded wife, awakened to the reasonableness that her rear end was cold. Coffee-making odors and subdued businesses filtered in from the kitchen. Motion was not on the menu until she got sufficiently coordinated to figure her way through the overnight tangle of knotted bedclothes. Her foot was caught.
Too early.
This was as early as days got.
One extravagant fling got all the covers over back on top of her, and Jenny was in the secret garden of her own woman smells. A click from the kitchen. Low radio morning sounds. The refrigerator locked shut. More coffee aroma. Her wandering husband had come home.
Jenny, coffee's on and the bathroom's clear.
Reveille. Consider it, Jim.
Jim came into the bedroom, tousled Jenny's hair, and gave it a sultry peck on the nose. He ran a hand up the inside of her thigh. Don't.
Indel 37, Master of Messengers, I would have you visit my sister. Your sister is dead, lady. This is another sister. Woman. Lady, I am sincerely sorry for the deaths of your sisters. Master of Messengers, you are a fool. Yes, lady. I have talked with my sister, and now she is going to kill us all. Then there will be no more long walkers. This I cannot allow. It is my duty. And her husband, too, the lady mother added as an afterthought. My sister, the new, the living sister, has revealed to me that I am an ant. You, too, are an ant. As are the workers, the Icaros, and even housekeeping and the nannies. She believes that we are insignificant. Oh, what is an ant, lady? Why, we are, and have been so since the moon filled the sky, and the seasons did not change. What may I do for my lady?
Kill the woman.
And failing that, bring home her corrosive powders to destroy the Icaros. The poison rains have made them mad. I could always make more. What is a woman?
Do I have to tell you everything?
Yes, lady.
At the granite-topped center island of a renovated, better-than-new kitchen, Jenny poked around in the drawers the previous owners had left chock-full of utensils.
Ah!
She came up with a silver-handled mold for forming decorative cones from confectioner's sugar. Dipping it in the can of poison, she pressed out mounded ellipses in a half-circle. Indel 37, after navigating the grouted alleyways that separated the tiles of the kitchen floor, struggled with clicking articulations over the polished stone lip of Jenny Levitan's countertop. Another obstacle, a range of white powder mountains, lay ahead. He made for a valley.
Oh!
As Jenny shifted her weight on the high stool, she set one mound of white powder into motion. Snow, white and deadly, drifted a millimeter deep to bury a miniature alpine pass. She watched a lone ant struggle out from under the arsenic fall and skitter back to the edge of the polished granite slab.
Hi there! Is that you?
Jenny felt ridiculous asking.
Thus far, sister of the queen!
The words were close and foreign. A strange accent. Was that the Armenian music? And mixed with the tiny tinny bagpipes, too.
Who are you?
No answer. Jenny Levitan faced the window, her eyes focused on nothing. A busy day today. Voices in my head.
They are killing the captive queens, the Icaros are,
said the voice. On the countertop, the lone ant groomed its antennae as a miniature bagpipe band played from the poison buffet.
You are going to kill your husband. He is wearing out, then?
The ant was dusted white from its struggle through the arsenic.
I'm doing the wearing out. Would you kill my husband if you were me? Whatever advances the colony.
My colony is killing its spare queens. This is usual in times of dwindling food or an overabundance of foragers.
But housekeeping's behavior is not normal. They will kill the mother of us all. Holy shit! You are the messenger. Your sister, the mother of us all, said she had prepared you for my coming.
The aunt was diffident.
All this is for real, then?
What is real, O sister of the queen? Solid? Then that is what this must be. The messenger was pleased, having figured things out by himself. Jenny licked off her fingers, then self-consciously wiped them on her khaki shorts.
You are an ant. I am talking to an ant.
She had meant to kill them, the ants, and felt contrite.
So that is indeed what you call us. I have learned this twice today. And are you perhaps the great presence shutting out the light?
Thank you for sharing your air with me. Ant, indeed. I am a long walker, messenger, and scout.
You work like rice barge coolies.
No future, no past. Only the work and a scrap of food, said Jenny. You are an ant. I could kill you.
Should I consider this a warning or a call to combat?
Indel 37 crouched defensively on his second and third leg joints and tucked his abdomen under his thorax.
Fight me. You're an ant. So?
I'm bigger than you. I would win.
So then, I must die.
Indel 37 groomed an antenna.
Could we not work together?
Almost flattery.
Jenny crossed her legs.
Some men find me attractive.
You are a man? What is a man?
Jenny explained.
Then if I were a man, I too would find you attractive, said the ant. But the joy of duty you find shallow. Duty is the greatest satisfaction imaginable. Soon there must be a swarming. I have no wings. Housekeeping will cut me up alive, for it is not in me to resist them. I will be their last meal. Then they, too, will die.
Then you all die and are eaten.
Self-death and the violent ending of another are expediencies. We are familiar with these, said Indel. Your husband. Will you eat him, or may I take him home?
Jenny uncrossed her legs.
I could call 911, said Jenny, remembering the arsenic, for all of us.
You could. Who is 911?
Jenny explained medical emergencies.
Are you real?
This was stupid, of course. He wasn't real.
Ah, yes, 911, for your husband. The lady mother could call housekeeping, and they would come cut him up, for that is the way of things.
Jenny washed her hands at the sink and thrust a spoon into the container of yogurt.
What do you do with the rice when you haul your grain of rice home?
We eat it. You have eaten the white powder. You will die. Then again, perhaps not. But then, so will I, for I've unwisely walked through it. Or not. Whatever is the will of the mother of us all.
My name is Jenny, by the way.
Thank you, Jenny. I am the master of messengers. Today I am 37th. This is my time, Jenny. Is that a sweet, sticky thing you have there? Don't lick the spoon. Lay it near me. Gently. Gently now.
The master of messengers walked through the sticky blueberry essence, then the powder, covering his tarsal joints, blue and white.
At present, you are pondering the choices of suicide or killing your husband.
How did you know?
The mother of us all has informed me of this. I gather that either option will advance your colony's sense of duty. However, both choices bring you unease.
Breathe well, long walker. Thank you for sharing your air.
May you sing like a queen, mother of men. This is a dark and doubtful life we have around us.
With the easy, clicking, gated grace of one born to duty, the master of messengers escaped beneath the baseboard molding to make his report. He had the gift of obedience. Jim Levitan came home late again, moist and fresh from a recent shower. The reek of French milled soap did not cover the smell of sex, likewise moist and recent. He found the house a symphony of aromas. His wife greeted him with powdered donuts, home-baked, lightly fried in sesame oil and covered with white, white powder. Confectioner's sugar, he guessed. Jenny Levitan wondered whom she would call. Perhaps Linda Throckmorton, with her belated atonements. Hail to our mother, who caused the messenger, the soldier, the worker. See how they love her, gathered near. The Indel, master of messengers. The Icaro, a soldier, a terror, a stirrer of strife, a maker of war. The worker, humble and wearied. She is our mother, goddess of the earth. She offers food in the desert and causes us to live. Our lives are the wonder. And I am the master of messengers. Mother of us all, be merciful. This is Rob Hunter. I hope you enjoyed the Song of the Rice Barge Coolie, first published in Eon Speculative Fiction. And don't forget to click over to my site, www.onetinleg.com. Follow the free reads link for other audio forays into the fantastic. And thanks for listening.